The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Kama has been generously sponsored in our Daf Yomi program by our good friend and patron and charter member of our Daf Yomi class, Siyahu Ashar HaKohen and his dear wife, Rina. That Be'ezrat Hashem, they will have continued Hatzlacha, Harvaha, Bechol, Ma'aseh, Yedehem, Bri'ut, health, happiness, prosperity, and much nachat from their children. May they enjoy many years of Shalom Bayit, tranquility, and peace of mind. Amen ve'amen. Daf Tzadi Tet. Today's daf is being studied. The Alun Nishmat Marat Zekenati Yafa Batzara. וגם לעלו נשמת אברהם בן אסתר וחשב תניחם בגן עדן, אמן. תראי, זה being studied לרפואה של אמן, משה בן דינה, אין לה רפנה לא רפת הנפש, רפת הגוף, רתו כרמד אמן וכן ירסו ונאמר, אמן. We begin today's daf on צדי ח' עמוד ב', and we are starting from the Mishnah, נתן לאומנים. Person gave, let's say, wood, or product to an אומן, to a professional, לתקן. In order to fix it, to make a keli, kilkelu, and instead they ruined it, hayavim leshalem. They have to pay for the item. They have to pay the value of the item. Natan laharash. They gave it to, let's say, a nagar. Nagar is like a carpenter of some sort. And what they give him? Shida v'teva u'migdal. These are all different types of kelim. These are all type of vessels, chests and different types of kelim made out of wood. Kelim gedolim letaken in order to fix it, kelkel, and they made kelkul out of it, they destroyed them. Hayav leshalem. So the uman again is obligated to make payment. Habanai, shekibel alav lestor etakot, he accepted upon himself the builder to break down the wall. Veshiber avarim, and in the interim, he broke the stones, or shehizik, or he damaged them. Hayav leshalem. Again, he has to pay. Haya soter mitzad ze. He was knocking on the wall from one side. V'nafal mitzad aher, and the wall fell from the other side. With the wall that they was not intending to knock down came down as well. So the din is patur. V'im machmat makeh haya. But if he was negligent because he banged the wall so hard that the wall on the other side came down, so indeed he is going to be haya. Now let's just go back to the beginning of our Mishnah. The Gemara is going to explain that we're talking about a case where a fellow gave the uman etzim in order to make a vessel. And this guy made a vessel. And after he made the vessel, the keli broke. Okay, so we're going to see exactly that situation. Or it could be a different situation. It could be where he gave him the actual vessel itself to make some shiputzim on it, to make some tikkun on it, and he broke it. So we have to see what happened there. Did he give him wood? Or did he give him actually the keli itself? Now,
as I said, it seems repetitious.
Oh, so the Gemara is going to go into all the details of this Mishnah. We begin right away with the Gemara. Amar Rav Aseh. Rav Aseh says, Lo shanu ela shenatan leharash shida teva umigdal v'na'etz behem masmer v'na'atz behem masmer v'shiberan. The case is talking about where you gave the uman a finished product. You gave him already the keli, and all you wanted the guy to do was bang a nail in it, make some tikkun on it. And in the interim, the guy took a finished product, and as he banged the nail in, he broke the whole keli. That's the case where we say the uman is chayav. Aval natan harash. But if he gave the carpenter, it seemed la'asot sheda teva u'migdal, he gave him the raw product, he gave him the wood, in order to make the sheda teva u'migdal, ve'asamim sheda teva u'migdal, v'shiberan, and after he made the keli, then he broke it, patur. The din is, the uman is patur, meaning he only has to pay back the me'er etzim, he only has to pay the value of the wood. My ta'ama, what is the reason? Gemara says a very important sevara, which is going to hold through throughout the whole sugya. Uman kone b'shevach keli. The uman, the craftsman, is kone, owns the shvach, the enhancement of the kli. That's a din. Now we have to explain exactly the mechanics of what this means. Uman kone b'shevach keli. So the mefarshim explain like this, and I'm going to read. Kashir sochrin poel. when you hire a worker, he's a kablan, you gave him a certain price, there's $100, I want you to fix the keli. So there's two ways for us to look at this person that's doing the job. If I could look at it, I'm paying you for your tirha, I'm paying you for your work. Just like I hire a worker, so I'm paying him for the toil that he does. Ela, שבקבלנות סכום התשלום נגמר מראש עבור השלמת העבודה. I set the price at the beginning, because I know I'm paying you for the product, for the final product. רב עשה מגדיר את שכיר הקבלן בסורה שונה. רב עשה, who's the author of this statement over here, he looks at קבלנות as a person that's hired to do a job, which means he looks at it in a different way. How? כיוון שהקבלן אינו מקבל תשלום על שעות עבודתו. You're not paying me by the hour, you're paying me by the job. You want the results. הרי הוא משפיע את הכלי ברשות עצמו. So the שבח that I'm doing it in my domain of it. והוא נחשב בעלים על השבח. נמצא שכאשר הכלי מושלם, once already I fixed the כלי, יש בו מעין שותפות. There's a partnership over here. The בעלים have a partnership in it, the wood, and I have the partnership in it, the fact that I made the enhancement. החומר שהוא של בעלים, ואילו השבח שייך לקבלן. לפי זה, כאשר הקבלן מחזיר את הכלי, he returns the vessel, והבעלים משלמים לו, it's not the pshat that they're paying necessarily for the work. At that point, we look at it when he gives it back to finish, but he's buying it. We look at it as if he's selling it to him now, because the shivach belongs to the Uman. And therefore, אלא הבעלים קונים מיד הקבלן את חלקו, they קונה from the Uman, ומשלמים לו על כך, and they pay him as such. Oh, so therefore, comes the Gemara and says that when you gave him a finished product, and that's the case of the Gemara says, Amar Rav Asi, I read again, Lo shenu ela shenatan nechara sheideta v'amigdal lena'etz b'hem masmid. So you gave him the finished product already. In that case over there, v'na'etz b'hem masmid v'shivran. So then already you gave him the finished product. That belongs already to the Ba'alim. There's nothing to do. I'm not a partner in it. Uman has nothing to do with it. He broke it. But you have to pay the whole thing. But if he gave him just the wood, he told, get the job done. Right, so we're partners by the time the item is finished. Now the Gemara is going to prove it. Tenan, we have a Mishnah. Natan la umanim, you gave it to the Uman. Our Mishnah happens to be vikilkelu hayavim nishalem. The Uman has to pay. My love, the ahiv, the uretzim. Oh, must be the case he's talking about where you gave him wood. That's the Gemara is trying to say over here. Question, which means even if you gave him wood, so therefore we have a question from our Mishnah. Lo, shida teva umigdal. No, I'll tell you the case he's talking about where you gave him a sheva teva umigdal. You gave him a finished product. That's why the Mishnah says hayab. That's what he has to pay. Oh, Gemara, what do you mean? Can't be. I'm a diktari sefa. The second case of the Mishnah said, Sheda, Teva, Umigdal. Michlal, Deresha, Etzim. It's mashma from the fact that the second case was a finished product. The first case is talking about wood. And still, you gave him wood, and he made a keli, and he broke it. He's got to pay the whole thing. That goes against the Vaseh. No. Perushe, Kamifareshla. The Mishnah is explaining, it's elaborating. Ketzad. Give me the case of the Resha. You told me the Resha, you hayab the Uman. Natan, Umanim, Litakin, Vikit Kiku, Hayim, Mishalem, Kegon, Shenatan, Nahara, Shedat, Tevah, Megdal. Which means the Mishnah is really discussing one case. Gemara is saying, first of all, number one, when you give something to the Uman's on the hook. He's got to pay for the whole finished product. Kegon, give me a case. I'll give you the case. Tatan, no, teva, 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 shinao, migdal, and broke it. Oh, so there was not two cases in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is really one case. So Gemara says, v'achinam mistabra. It makes sense to learn like that. De ketzad ketani. That we're learning the Mishnah in a ketzad way. That the Mishnah first gives us the deen, and then gives us an explanation of the deen. The case, ketzad, what's the case? He's like, ha-datach v'esha etzim. Because if you tell me the opposite, if you tell me that the Resha is talking about, you gave him wood. Then the Mishnah, what's the Mishnah saying? Let's speak it out ourselves. The case is talking about where you gave him wood, and what? He made a keli, And even in that case, the Mishnah is telling me that the Uman has to pay full price. Exactly. Even the case where you gave him wood, you're telling me that the guy has to pay back the full product. And we're not going to say that the Uman is koneh the shvach. And you have to tell me when the guy gave him the finished product. So Shekini has to pay back. So therefore it makes sense to say the Mishnah not talking about two cases. Because if Mishnah was talking about two cases, you don't need the second case. It's obvious. If it seems he has to pay back the full product, Ella must be the Mishnah's working with a Kitzad style. Now the Mishnah tells me the first case, which is blank, and the Mishnah says, what's the first case? Tevash Cheval Migdal. No. Lo Iria. If that's your whole proof, you have no ra'ya. Which means we agree with Rav Aseh. But don't tell me that you're conclusively stuck to learn the Mishnah in that way. Because I could tell you the Mishnah a different way. I could say, Tana Sefa Legeluye Resha. I could tell you reverse. I could tell you the Sefa, the Mishnah, which is talking about Teva Shedau Migdal, comes to reveal to me what the first case of the Mishnah was. Meaning, I would have learned stuff if I would have said the first case of the Mishnah. Natan Le'uman. Doesn't say what? Natan Le'uman in Mitaken. I would say for sure that's talking about Teva, Shedau, Migdal. Finished product, that's what he has to pay. Aval, Aitzim, no. So I would say maybe Aitzim, no. So Tana Sefa, Shedat Teva, Migdal, Mechlal de Resha, Aitzim. Nafilu Achi Hayav de Shalem. So therefore, I could have said that no, that really I tell you that the Sefa is coming to reveal on the Resha. Which means, Rabbi Aseh, we agree with you. You're right. But don't bring it ayah conclusively from Al Mishnah, because right. I could tell you that the Resha is Etzim, the Sefa is Teva Sheva Mezudal, and it had to say in that way, because you would have thought that the Resha is talking about Teva, and therefore they had to say the Sefa is talking about Teva, therefore I go back to the Resha is talking about Etzim, therefore you cannot make your Kavahomet. In any event, let's just review the points, because this is the key of the whole sugya. Rabbi Aseh is teaching us Chedush again. A guy goes to Umman. He's paying him. He's paying him for a job. And what? He tells him that he wants him to make him a keli. Gave him wood. Let's give the case we gave him wood first. Gave him wood. So now what's the situation? The Umman fixes it and he makes it into a keli. Oh, and that, you know, over there. And what happened? He broke it in the end. Oh, he broke it in the end? Well, so therefore he just has to return back. It seems. You give back the finish. Why? Because again, the rule. Uman kone bishvach kli. Listen, you gave me wood. I worked it. I fixed it. I did all the tikkunim over there. You're paying me for a finished product, but by the time I'm selling it to you, it's a new item. And therefore, already I'm a shutaf. So therefore, I broke it, so I broke my own item. So I'll pay you back the wood. But Shaykh, when you gave a finished product, what's the question? You gave me your item. So now I broke your item, so therefore I have to pay. That's the deep of Rav Aseh. Comes the Gemara and says, Lema Misayele. Now we're going to go bring a host of proofs for Rav Aseh. Let's bring it ayah. Hanoten Semer Lasaba. You gave wool to the dyer. Vikdiho Yore. What happened? He burnt it in the kiln. Right, they soak it into this fiery pot, the cauldron, and they burnt it. Noten lo demet samro. So he's got to pay him back the value of the tzemer of the wool. So he's going to mention the yuk. Demet samro in. Demet samro vishmacho lo. Oh, so you see, you only have to pay back the amount of the tzemer. But the amount of the tzemer plus the enhancement, which means the dye, you don't have to pay back. And the Gemara says, La, Vishvahono, Lav Shigdicho Lachad Nefila. Must be we're talking about a case where you burnt it after it fell into the cauldron, which means first of all, it became dyed. It got its color. It got its Sheva. The Ika Shivha. And Vishvah Minah. Uman kone bishvakli, because you see, he only has to pay back raw wool.
The same case.
Same case like Rav Aseh. Again, I got a product of wool. And what happened? I went and I enhanced it. How did I enhance it? I dyed it. After I dyed it, now at Yeshvah, I broke it. What's the shot I broke it? I burnt it. What's the deen in the Mishnah? Give back raw wool. Oh, what's the explanation? Exactly. So we see a ra'ayah for Rav Aseh, that Uman koneh bishvach kli. Rav Aseh could support himself from a beferush Mishnah. Gemara says, no, not so fast. Amar Shmuel, Achavimah Askenan. Gotchik, Nyo, Bishat Nefila, Deleka Shvacha. He burnt it immediately in the cauldron before the dye even went in it. And therefore there's no shevach, so you can bring no dye over here. It's like he gave him wood, and he broke the wood before he even did anything, before he even made it a keli. That's the case over here. So the, what are you bringing up asay over here? The only way you can prove it asay is you bring me a case where there's shevach. But in this case there's no shevach. He burnt the item immediately. So Gemara says, oh, avalik diho, le'achan nefila mai. So the Gemara is asking according to Shmuel. Shmuel, you came along and you gave me a nice interpretation of this Mishnah.
Now what would be if it's a case
The other way, Shmuel? What would you hold the other way? Let's talk about a case we wanted to know.
Yeah,
where
you
dyed it first and then you burnt it. What are you going to say? Noten lo demes samrov v'shavcho? What are you going to tell me, Shmuel? You're going to hold, you got to give him back everything? You got to give him back tzemer and the enhancement which means against Rav Aser? Lema Shmuel, let le de Rav Aser? You tell me Shmuel doesn't know like Rav Aser? Is that possible? So Gemara comes along and says, what's the problem, by the way? By the way, maybe he doesn't know like Rav Aser. So the second that she says, Lema Shmuel, let le de Rav Aser, who idu me'adeluk me'ba'achi matnitin, who ma'ashta lo avdine ke Rav Aser, that kamalan ke Shmuel bedineh. Which is, once I find out that Shmuel argues on Rav Aser, take out Rav Aser, because we have a halakha. Halakha kishmuel bedineh. We follow Shmuel in dineh mamonot. He was the expert in dineh mamonot. So therefore, hold it. I got to know what Shmuel holds. The gabed the shiva business. You telling me that he learns the case? Oh, where there was no shiva. He burnt it on site immediately. Oh, and if he didn't, and let's say he made the shiva, you tell me he has to pay back everything. You're telling me that Shmuel goes against the Yosef Rav Aser. So we're going to go like Shmuel then. There's no business of shiva. Yavana says, Amma lecha Shmuel, achabim ha'askinam. No, you have no raya at all to anything. Even on the diyuk, you can't get me. Why? Kegon de tzemer v'sammanim de ba'al abayit. Which means all the goods belong to the ba'al abayit. The wool, it was the ba'al abayit's dye as well. V'saba agar yadehu de shakil. Which means all he did was, is he hired him. Which means he hired him in order to get paid for his work. The sabat, that's the dyer, agar yedehu shakil. He's getting the mischirut. Oh, so therefore, wait.
It doesn't go
so therefore,
the
nothing to
rule.
Do with shvach. Which means the reason why he's got to pay back everything is because all the goods belong to the Baal HaBayit. Yeah, he's a hired guy. You're using my wool, using my dye. So therefore, you got to pay back demet samro v'shevcho in a case where the dye belongs to the Baal HaBayit. You have no raya. So I was right. Yache noten lo demet samro v'samanim mev'ele. What are you talking? If that's the case, it shouldn't say noten lo demet samro v'shevcho. It should say he's got to give him back the tzemet plus the dye. Look at the Rashi. Mm-hmm. Rashi says, let's go back to the Amalecha. Amalecha. Hamat nitin de mashma di yigdiyah lehachan nefila. Yehiv de nami de meshavche. Kegon. You know what the case is talking? Shesemer besemanim de baal abayit. Everything belongs to the baal abayit. De haleka le memar. Uman kone beshvach keli. What are you doing? Uman kone. I'm only kone on my enhancement, on my stuff, but I'm not kone on the other guy's stuff. The sammanimu, the mishabhale, the sabah, sachil ba'almahu. Vadai uman, shea sammanim shelo, kone beshvach keli. Which really, I'll tell you, when it's the uman's sammanim, vadai is kone beshvach keli. However, this case is different, Shmuel. So don't put me against Rav Aser. I agree with Rav Aser. It's just that this case of it is talking about a situation where the seva belong to the owner. So comes the Gemara and says, Iyachi, if that's the case, it sort of said that what? That the uman has to pay back the mes samro v'sammanim. In the first case, when you learned the Mishnah, it says, v'kdicho yore, noten lo demes samro. Why does he have to give him the mes samro?
Yeah, in the first case.
The case of the Mishnah. V'kdicho noten lo demes samro. Hold it. I got to return back the Semanim also. The Semanim don't belong to me. Eli, you can't learn the case like that.
Right.
Oh, so must be back to the case the way Shmuel learned it. Where it's talking about where he burned, where it's really all the stuff belongs to the
Uman.
To the Uman. Oh, and what did he do? He burnt it immediately. So the Gemara made a diyuk and all that. Oh, so what put Shmuel against Rav Aser? Don't go so far. Eli Shmuel dechoye kamadhele, which is all Shmuel was just trying to say. You have no ra'ayah from this Mishnah. I agree with Rav Aser, by the way. But you want to bring a ra'ayah from this Mishnah over here, Now, I can tell you, I could knock it off. Doesn't mean I disagree with the Masseh where you're starting to get me, oh, do you, can you get... the Masseh is right. Uman kone bishvakli. You want to tell me from the case of the Sabah? I could argue and tell you it burnt immediately, where there was no Sheva. Don't come along there and tell me, oh, and if there was a Sheva, hey, don't go that far. I'm just telling you, I agree with that. Don't mean what I have from this Mishnah. Oh, so we go somewhere else. Comes again like that. It's a question now. Question on the Asse. Tashema anotein talito le'uman. He gave his talit to the Uman. Gamro. He finished it. He did his work on it. Ve'odi oh, and he told him, okay, it's done. Come pick it up. Afilu mikan va'adasara yamim. Right? And the guy, he didn't pick it up. He told him, 10 days he came. 10 days later. Eno over ala mishum lo talin. We have halakha that says a person has to pay the worker on the same day that he finishes the job. You got to pay him. Lo talin secharo. Pe'ulat sechir. It tichat boker. You cannot leave it until the morning. You got to pay him immediately. So the gemara comes. Depends. If the guy finished at night, you have to make sure that you pay him before the morning. If he finishes in the day, you have to make sure you pay him before the night. The point is, but if he told them it's ready, come pick it up. So until he picks it up, he's not hayav in the lo talin business.
It's like a watchman, sort of.
Oh, so comes the gemara and says natna lo b'chatzi hayom. Oh, but he gave it to him now. Hey, gives him the item back midday. Kivan sheshaka alav hama. Once sunset comes, over ala mishum baltalin. Okay, good. Which means the baltalin doesn't kick in until he actually gives you the goods. Once I get the goods now, pay me for the items. So now the gemara says, wait. Hold it. If you're telling me that the Uman is Koneh B'Shvach Keli, I only have to pay a worker on the same day. But I don't have to pay if I'm buying an item.
Yeah.
If I'm buying an item, so I owe you money. Yeah. So therefore, I can pay whenever I want. I'm not over on Baltalin. Kebara says, am I over Mishum Baltalin? There's no Baltalin. I'm buying an item now. That was Mishum Bach. Ela, you see what? The pshat is it's not Uman Kuneh B'Shvach Keli. Ela must be, he's a regular sechir, he's a regular worker. And he did the shvach is my shvach, and I'm coming to get my item back. My item back, so I got to pay the workers on time. That's the Gemara's question against the Vaseh. Amar Rav Mori Bered Rav Kahana, no, Begerdad de Sarbela de Leka Shvacha. Back to the old answer. We're talking about a case where there's no shvach. He gave him a talit. When he told them to do something to the talit, to make it a type of shawl, where you don't need any enhancement, there's no enhancement over here. So there was nothing to talk about when you bring your ayah, oh, you see, the shvach belongs to the owner. There's no shvach over here. He gave him a talit that she says to go make him begardad de sarbera, flukir begadim. It's a type of garment.
Type,
okay, yeah, exactly, something like that. We really don't need to make a shevach. So comes the Gemara and says, Sof, lema yavani hale. So if there's no, so what are you giving it to him for then? You gave it to an Oman for a purpose. So you must know, lerakuche. You gave it to me to soften it. Oh, you gave it to soften, that's the shevach. Kevan de rachbe, hainu shevach. Which you obviously gave it to the guy to do something to it.
Right.
So he gave it to soften. So he softened it, there's the shevach. So back there, what do you see what? That you're not, that if you don't pay him on time, you're over on, Baltalin. Oh, so you see what? That against them, I said that the Uman is not Koneh Sheva. Gemara says, Lo, Tzericha, De Agre Libiche. The Gemara is talking about, you hire him to step on it, to trample on the talit, to make it soft. Cool. That's what he did, they would trample it. So the Gemara says, Bicha, Bicha, Bima'ata. And you paid him by the trample. Bicha, Bicha, which means you told him, every time you step on it, I give you $1. Which was, I'm paying you by the, how many times you trample, and therefore, dainu sechirut. And therefore, this is a simple case of sechirut, which means you're hiring the guy. Rashi says, the betushe, v'sechro lidarka. You hired him to trample. Rashi says, v'hitna emoskuma dirichot. And you gave him a set price for every trample. Kod diricha b'ma'a. Right? Every time you trample, I give you a ma'a. Deschir yomu. Velo kavlan de likli b'shavcha, which means our whole discussion of Uman Koneh B'Shvakli was talking about where he's a kablan, which is I'm paying you for the job. Oh, when you pay for the job, then we had two ways of looking at it. Who owns the finished product? But not when I pay you not for the finished job, but I pay you for a specific item, which is, I'm hiring you for specific work, which means for every jump on the, for every trample, I'll give you a dollar, I'll give you a ma'ah. That's not what Kuman Kone Bishvach Kali. Oman Bishvach Kali is talking about where you're a worker, you paid finished product. Here's wood, I want you to make me a table. Oh, so I worked, he worked, I'm paying you for the finished product. Oh, in that case, so we have a question. When the finished product comes, who's it belong to? Is it the owners? Is it the Uman? Oh, that's where the Basir comes in. But not in the case of I'm hiring a guy for a specific job and I'm paying him not for the finished job. I'm paying him for each job. That's called the Sechir. So but don't bring me Raya to this subject. Oh, but the Gemara goes on a side point now. Ulmai desalik adatin mi'ikara dela agrel biche. But you thought in the beginning, was a regular case of Kablanut, where you gave the guy the talet to enhance. What you thought in the beginning, we know we rejected it, but let's go back to the Hava Amina. Well, you thought the case was a talet, where it was enhanced and all that. What do you see from here? What did Rav Sheshat say? They bow, meaning Rav Sheshat. Kablanut over, Adam Meshum Baltalin, or in over, Amadu Rav Sheshat, over. Oh, they had a stomach question. When you hire a guy, be Kablanut. Hire a guy to do the job. Right? Finished product, I'm paying you for the job. Finish the product, I'll pay you. Is that subject to the law of Baltalin, that you have to pay the worker on time? Maybe when the Torah says, Torah uses the word Sechir. Sechir means, I paid you, I hired you, do this job. Every time you do this, I'm going to give you a guy pays him by the hour, let's say. Yeah. So in that case over there, the Torah says, by the end of the day, you better make hashbom with him and pay him for all his hours. But who says that the law of Baltalin applies where I'm giving a guy, not paying him by the hour, when I'm paying you by the job, who says the law of Baltalin applies? Rav Sheshat came up and said, by the way, it does apply. Yeah, but I have this Mishnah. Because Nahava, Amina, when we thought the case was talking about Kablanut, the Mishnah, or the writer clearly says that there's Inyan of Baltalin. So therefore you see that Rav Sheshat has a Ra'ayah from this Mishnah, at least according to the Hava Amina, the way we learned. Lemaaseh, we're not learning that. Lemaaseh, we're learning the guy's paying him by the hour. Right. The guy's paying him for the job. But in the Hava Amina, when we thought he was paying him for the job to fix his talit, and we said that you're a Baltalin, so you have an ayah for Rav Sheshat that says that Baltalin applies even to Sechirut.
Rav Sheshat doesn't pull up Lemaaseh.
Oh, so that's the next line of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Lema de Rav Sheshat Peliga de Rav Aseh. You want to tell me that Rav Sheshat argues on Rav Aseh? Because again, if you're going to tell me you're over on Baltalin, so that means that we're not going to say Uman Kone Bishvach Keli. Because if you say that Uman is Kone Bishvach Keli, so you're buying it from me. Buying it from me is not Baltalin. And if the fact that he says there's Baltalin by Schirut, must be that he argues against the Aseh and says that the Uman does not own the item. The item belongs to the Baal Abayit, and you're a worker. If I got to pay my workers on time, so that you want to say whatever Sheshat holds against Rav Aseh, Amar Shmuel bar Acha b'shlicha de'igarta. No. Rav Sheshat, by the way, when he set his law on a worker that you're paying him for a job, that if you don't pay him on the day that you're being over baltalin, he was talking about not a case where he gave the stuff to a carpenter where he enhanced it. He didn't get involved in Rav Aseh's case at all. He was talking about a mailman. What's mailman? He gave a guy a letter. Go deliver the mail. I'm not paying you for your hours. I'm paying you for the final job. Get the mail delivered and I pay you. Once he delivers the mail, now already I have to pay him, even though it was Sechirut. So don't bring me the ayada for the fact that the Bashir says that by Kablanut, you're over on Baltalin, that you want to get that involved, that Uman is not Koneh Bishvach Keli. Nothing to do with Uman Koneh. He wasn't talking about a case of Uman Koneh Bishvach Keli. He was talking about a mailman. Mailman is no Shvach over there. So therefore, I can tell you really, Rav Sheshat holds like Rav Aseh in a case where you would actually give a Uman wood and he would enhance it. And there's no Baltalin in that case over there. Because Baron, he's selling it to you. Selling it to you, there's no Baltalin. Oh, but you said that Kaplanut is Baltalin in the case of a mailman. That's what I'm talking about. No Shvach over here. Good. Comes the Gibran and says, Lema Ketana'e. Let us say over here that this subject is indeed a machloket amongst the Tanaim. What subject are we talking about? The din of Uman Kone Bishvach Keli. This subject of Rav Aseh. Okay, Aseli Shiraim Nezamin V'Tabaot V'Ekadesh Lach.
A lady comes to a guy. Do me a favor, make me all different types of jewelries. Make me some jewelries over there. Ve'kadesh lach, and I will be mekadesh to you. Which means she gave him the gold. She gave him the goods. He's a jeweler. Make me earrings, make me a ring, and so on and so forth.
So you give it back to me,
and I will be mekadesh with the sakhal, which means it costs money. It costs money to work. The schirut of it, right? It costs money. So with that money that cost you to make it, you're not going to charge me. That would be the kiddushin. Of course, now the man has to say this. She could make the deal, but before it's over, he has to have the kiddushin. In any event, so comes the Gemara and says like this. Look at the Rashi, please. Aseli shirin, tzimidin. Tzimidin is like bangles and things like that. Mishiri, I'm giving you the gold. V'kadesh nekab b'schad pe'udatecha. Perfect. The schad, the money that it cost you, the effort to work, that's the kiddushin money. Kevan sha'asa'an mekudeshet. Once he makes it, mekudeshet. Devrer b'meir. V'achemim omrim, ena mekudeshet ad shiyagia mamon. The ada, until the money gets to our hand. Now, the Gemara, before we can make any analysis over here, we got to know what does it mean, the money? Which money gets to our hand? My mamon, either ma oto mamon. Maybe it means he's not mekudesh till he gives her the ring, till he gives her the actual jewelry. Maybe that's what the achamim are coming off to say. So comes the Gemara and says, Mechlat Rabbi Meir Savar, oto mamon lo? What do you mean? And Rabbi Meir says, the kiddushin will happen even before she gets back the ring? Impossible. Ela b'mayim mekadesha. So where's the kiddushin? There's nothing tangible of it. Everybody agrees the kiddushin is not going to be hal until he actually gives back the ring, until he gives back the finished product, the jewelry. Ela pshita my mamon. You know what mamon means over here? Mamon aher. Big kiddush. Hachemim say the guy took raw product, took gold. He fashioned it. He worked. He's a kablan. He made the ring. He gave her the ring back. Achi yagia mamon doesn't mean the ring. Ring badai you gotta give back. Mamon ahir. The ring plus
mikudesh.
Another piruta. Oh, that means according to the B Meir. Let's get facts first. You just gave back the ring alone without a piruta. Without a piruta.
Oh.
So now we have to analyze what's the situation. So Gemara says, Vesavrua. We don't know the case yet. We need a lot of information before we can even understand what in the world is going on in this case. The Gemara has to establish to us many, many principles. Number one, the Kula Alma, Yeshna, Lizchirut, Mitrila, Ve'atzof. Oh, that's the first subject over here. What is Yeshna, Lizchirut, Mitrila, Ve'atzof? We have a machloket throughout the Shas in the following way. I hire a guy to work for me, okay? So I pay him for the job, right? How do I look at it? When am I obligated to pay him? Am I obligated to pay him a lump sum at the end? Once he finishes the last bang, now it hits me, I owe him $1,000. Or do I say no, like the Gemara says, Yeshna schirut mitchila ve'ad sof. It incurs. The guy worked for 10 minutes, I owe him $1. $1. And the schirut keeps on accruing as the guy's working. So the Gemara says, in this opinion, everybody holds Yeshna l'schirut mitchila ve'ad sof. The schirut accrues as the guy is working. Okay. I'd like to read that in Rashi for a second. Yeshna l'schirut mitchila ve'ad sof. Kevan sha'ala scharo l'peruta. He worked the peruta's worth. Netchayba lo miyad peruta. Ve'av yelem malve gaba. Oh, now let's stop. Read one more line. Udekula ama mekadesh b'melve ena mekudeshet. We have another rule. A lady, you cannot mekadesh a lady with a loan. Which means what? I lent the lady money.
And you tell her keep it.
And I come along and say, I mekadesh b'melve. That money, keep it. That money over there is gone already. Which means you're not allowed to mekadesh a lady b'melve. Oh, so then, in this case over here, if you say that Yeshna l'schirut mitchila ve'ad sof, so at the end of the job already, the money that this lady, she owes me already. She owed it to me already from the first 5 minutes that I was working. So when I tell her, Ariat mikudeshet li, with the work is considered a malveh because it was owed already from before, every second already, she's owed. She owes the money. She owes the money. She owes more money. So therefore, we want to understand the case. Give me a case. So where's the kiddushin? If you say yishna l'schirut mitchila ve'ad sof, And you're telling me that Mekadesh B'malveh is not Mekudeshet. So give me the case. How in the world can this lady be Mekudeshet with the Schirut of the product? The Gemara says, my love, Be'uman kone b'shvah kli kamipalge. You know what the subject over here is? The husband, this guy, future husband. He's working on the diamonds, he's working on the gold, whatever it is. She gave him a raw product. Do we say that Uman is kone b'shvah kli or not? At the finished product, who owns the item? Oh, did it be me'ir sabar Uman kone b'shvah kli? That's why all the Bimir says you just have to give back the item, and you're being Mekadesh with the item. Because the item belongs to who?
To me now.
To the husband, to the Mekadesh. However, this Kli belongs to the lady. So when you're giving it to back, this item is hers. You cannot be Mekadesh with that. The money is a Malveh. So wait, how are you giving me Mekadesh? Oh, that's why he says you have to give the item back with new money. That's what the banan said. You got to give back the item plus a piruta. Because why? Because the piruta is making the kiddushin.
Didn't we say before that they become partners if he gives a piece of wood?
Oh, that's that's what the Gemara said. It's a machlok, you see. That was Rav Aseh. Right. So Gemara said, that item of Rav Aseh is subject to a machlok in the Tanaim. Let's review this. She has to pay him for the work.
Oh, she does?
But she's not paying. She says, the money that I owe you for the work, that'll be the Kiddushin. So the Gemara says, wait. Let's see how this is working. Meaning, let's speak it out without reading inside. Let's speak it out. You have a lady. She wants to get married to this guy. She went, she has gold. You know what? Do me a favor. You're a Uman. You know how to make silver, gold, jewelry. Here's these. Gold. Make me a ring. Make me all these items over there. And I'll be Mekadesh to you with that. Because with what? Where's the Kiddushin? So the Rabbi Meir says, once he gives back the item, Mekadesh it. Hachamim come along and say, no. You got to give back the item plus. What are we talking about over here? Are you being Mekadesh with the money that she owes him? It cannot be. Because that's a Malveh. You cannot be Mekadesh the Malveh. Because since, as he's working, right? As he's working, every time he works, she owes him $1, she owes him $2, she owes him. So already, by the time the product is over, it's a loan over here. You cannot be Mekadesh with a loan. It's got to be new money. No,
it's a loan, but
she has to pay him, but that cannot be Kiddushin. The Kiddushin is not, so that's not coming from there. It's not coming from the money of the Schirut. Because Schirut is a Malveh. Beautiful, so take that off the table. Okay, where else can it come from? Oh, so must be it's coming from the item. The item, when he gives back the item. Oh, the item? Well, the holder. Who belongs to the item? Oh, so must be the Bimir Hozek Rav Aseh that Uman Kone Bishvah. So when he gives back the ring, I'm giving back something belongs to me. Areat Mekudesh Shili with the ring. Rabbanan come along and say, no, you got to give back the ring plus. Oh, because they must hold Uman Eno Kone, the ring is hers. Therefore, I'm giving back something that where's the Kiddushin? He'll have to give her another Piruta. To that, the Gemara says, oh, so I found the Mahloka Tanaim on the subject of Rav Aseh. To that, the Gemara comes along and says, Lo, no, I don't have to learn like that. I have many options to learn this Mahloka without getting involved in the Uman Kone Bishvah Keli business. I can say, Lo, De Kole Alma En Uman Kone Bishvah Keli. Rabbi Meir Savar en Schirut Ela Lebasov, Verabaran Savri Yesh Schirut Mitchila Ba'atzof. Very simple. You know, I can learn very easy. Take the Uman Kone off the table. You know how the machlok is over here? How do you look at Schirut? When I'm working, Rabbi Meir is going to hold that Schirut doesn't accrue till the end. So if it's not a Malveh, so if when I give back the item, already I'm giving back the item. Now the schirut, the money's here. The money that is owed is not owed. It's here now. I'm being Mekadesh with that money that she owes me. Mashiach Rabbanam will say, you give back to the guy to give new money. Because they hold that schirut mitchila v'adsof. So nothing to do with Uman Koneh B'Shvah Kli. The machlok is schirut mitchila v'adsof. I'll give another answer. V'ibayet ema, dekule ama yishna l'schirut mitchila v'adsof. I can say that really everybody holds. It's a malveh. Schirut goes from the beginning to the end. Oh, the machloket is, can you be Mekadesh with a Malveh? It's not a machloket. The Rabbi Meir is somebody Mekadesh with a Malveh, Mekudeshet. The Rabbanan is somebody Mekadesh with a Malveh, Mekudeshet. Very simple. Really, Shekinut starts on day one, from the first minute he's working. It's a loan. By the way, the Mimi says, you can measure a loan. And then I say, you can't. That's why you got to give money. Third answer. Rava Ama, the Kulama Yishna Nishirut, Mitranava Hatsof, with the Kulama Kazmava, and I'm a Kudeshe. I can tell you what, everybody holds Yishna Nishirut, Mitranava Hatsof, so close to the end. And everybody holds that Mikadesh Mimalve, no good. With the Kulama, in Uman Kone Bishvakli. And everybody's going to hold that what? The Uman doesn't own it. Where's the Kedushin then?
He put in some stones and gas.
Exactly.
He
put an extra diamond, an extra item on the thing. So let's just talk outside for a second. And then I'll read inside. Which means when he's giving her back the ring, she's getting the ring back. Okay, plus. Now let's go. Schirut cannot be working because schirut is mitvavat. So everybody holds malveh is no good. So it's not talking about on that stuff. Okay. On the ring itself, in uman kone b'shvakli, it cannot be the ring either because it's not his; it belongs to us. So where's the kiddushin? Oh, he added a little item on it. Now, here's the subject which we're going to get into now. When I give a lady a ring back, so now she's getting back two things. She's getting back the schirut, which means I'm not charging her for the work.
Work.
That's melveh, but she's also getting a piruta, she's getting an extra item. So the question is, how do you look at that? When you give somebody malveh and piruta, is her mind on the malveh as well? If her mind is on the malveh as well, then already no good. But if her mind is only on the piruta, then it will be good. I'm telling you quickly, we'll read it inside now. We don't have to read it, say it out, so we can read it inside. If you need a sabar, Malveh upruta. When he gave it back to me, what did he give up? He gave her a peruta, but he also gave it back the loan, which means. So now, let's talk straight. Hare at mekudeshet li, betaba'at zu, with the nofich on it, with the item on it, kadam mochev is. Now, in her brain, she said, well, look what I'm getting. I'm getting tremendous value. I'm getting this nofich, I'm getting this piece. Plus, I don't got to pay the debt. So Rabbi Meir says, Malveh upruta da'ata a peruta. Her da'at is the kiddushin will be hal on the piruta pot. Mekudeshet. V'rabbanan sabri malveh ufruta da'ata am malveh. Her da'at is also on the malveh. No good. Once already it's on the malveh, the piruta is not going to work. Because malveh doesn't work. And therefore her da'at's got to be dafka on the piruta. That's what does Rabbanan say? You give back the ring and money. And money. In order to get rid of the situation. Ufrukta da'ani tana'e. Which means this subject over here is nogeya to the following machlok. Netanya, bischar she'asiti emecha ena mikudeshet. Very good. A guy comes along and says, bischar she'asiti emach. That would be emach, correct? I work for you. You owe me the money. With that schar mikudeshet. Give it ena mikudeshet. That's a malveh. Bischar she'ase emach. Oh, but in the schar that I am going to do for you. Already he establishes from the beginning, mikudeshet. Okay, look at Rashi.
One is a straight loan, and the other one is
a future item, some type of future. And she says, "V'schar she'aseh imach mikudeshet." Let's go back to ena mikudeshet. Fourth line.
Yeah,
ho'il v'kvar aziru lav u'malvegaba. Right, he returned the item to her. Now he just owes. She owes money. That's a straight out malve. V'schar she'aseh imach. Right, in the sechad I'm going to do for you mikudeshet. The ena l'schut el lebesof. Because this opinion holds, in the schut el besof, that schirut doesn't accrue till the end. When he gives back the item, that's when the money is owed, and therefore it's okay. So therefore, if he does it in after it happens already, or you owe me money, or you owe me money to be mekadesh with the money you owe me, too late. But the money you're going to owe me. So if you hold that schirut happens at the end. So if I finish working for her, when I give her the up, that's when the money is owed. Bingo, I can be mekadesh on the spot. So Gemara says, Rabbi Natan Omer, v'schar she'aseh imach, ena mekudeshet, even future is no good, v'kol sheken v'schar she'asiti imach, and kol sheken on the past. What's the logic? Look at Rashi. V'schar she'aseh imach, ena mekudeshet, kassim Rabbi Natan, yishtan schirut mitchilat v'ad sof. Oh, very good. Rabbi Natan obviously holds, schirut accrues from the beginning to the end. So that even if he says, with the money that you're going to owe me,
could be on
it starts right away. And therefore it's considered a malveh. ורבי יהודה הנשיא אומר באמת אמרו, אני תאבי שזה באמת מנת עשתה הלכה בין בשכר שעשיתי עמך ובין בשכר שיעשה עמך אין המקודשת ואם הוסיף לה נופך משלו או ברפי ארד an item an extra nofek, an extra piece in the jewelry mekodeshet. So now the Gemara is going to explain the three way machloket. Let's just review quickly in our brains. You have three opinions. You have Tanakama, Rabbi Natan, and Rabbi Yehuda. Let's review Tanakama. Tanakama's opinion, he makes a haluk between what the schar that you owe me, no good. Schar that you will owe me, good. Because now we're holding yod yishna l'schirut lebasof. So therefore, if your schirut doesn't hit to the end, so therefore I can come along and say, when I give you back the item, it will be mekudeshet to me, because the schirut hits at that point. Rabbi Natan come along and say, it doesn't matter. Ben... and what you owe me and what you're going to owe me, no good. Because he holds, yes, it's going to be tayla ve'ad, so for every second it's a malveh, no good. And if Yehuda comes along and agrees with that, but he just said, but if you put an extra nofich in there, you're going to be mekudesh. So Gemara explains.
Rabbi Natan would agree with Rabbi Yehuda about that extra.
Oh, no, that's where the argument is. That's what Gemara says. Ben Tanakama Rabbi Natan, Ika Benayu Schirut. The first two opinions, Tanakama Rabbi Natan, where it's clear what the machloket is. Is this schirut from the beginning to the end or not? Tanakama says, therefore, when I come along and tell the lady, I have mekodeshet li, from now I'm telling you, I'm mekodeshet li, when I give you back the ring. Good. Once she gives back the ring, that's when she owes him the money. It's not a loan. It hits besof, mekodeshet. Rabbi Natan says, no. Even that case, no good. Because she doesn't owe the money at that point. She owed the money already from before. Therefore, no good. Now, ben Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Yehuda, nasika benayu, malve upruta. And according to Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Yehuda, the difference between them is going to be the peruta case. Because Rabbi Natan gave a case what? He says, whether you said what you owe me or what you're going to when I give it back to you and it's finished, doesn't matter, no good. And he didn't stipulate that if you put an extra nofich, he holds, even if you put an extra nofich on it, holds, no good. Because he holds, like he holds that's right, he holds like the achayim that say da'ata is on the milveh and on the peruta, no good. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda came along and said, no, even osif nofich, then already it'll be good. Because he holds that when you're giving back milveh and a peruta, her da'at is on the peruta. So we'll stop over here, but let's just review what came out of it. Came out, we have a, just, what you have to take out of the sugya is to capitulate the whole sugya. Number one, you learned the sugya of Rabbi Aseh that holds Uman Koneh B'Shvach Keli. That's a very important yesod in the staff over here, that when an Uman is being paid for a job and you give him raw product and he comes along and enhances the item belongs to him. Right. When he's giving it back, he's basically selling it to you. He's selling it to his chelek that's in the item. Nafka mina, if he breaks it in the interim, he broke his own item, he would only have to return wood. That's one concept that we learned on today's daf.
Similar to a thief, by the way.
Similar to the kinyan and the shinui. Right. Very good. Very good. The next concept that we have to take away from the daf is Yeshna l'schirut mitchila v'atzof, which is a famous mahloka throughout Shas. How do you look at a guy when he's working? Is the work paid every minute that a piruta accrues, like you said, I owe it. Now that would be very important, nafkamina, because I would not be able to mekadesh a lady then in such a way, because you're not allowed to be mekadesh a lady with a malveh. So that would be part of the machlok. And basically, we saw three shitot. We have some hold, yesh l'schirut b'tchilav atzof. Some say no. Some say schirut happens at the end. And if you hold schirut happens at the end, it's I work, she owes me nothing. She owes me nothing. She owes me nothing. When does she owe me? At the finish, then I can be mekadesh according to that opinion over there. That's actually the opinion of Tanakama of this Braita, whereas Rabbi Natan holds, no, the third Shita holds, you're right, when you have a malveh and a piruta, how do I look at that dynamic? So which means I'm giving the lady back a piruta, a nofich, an extra doodad on the item, plus the malveh. So Rabbi Natan looks at it, Rabbi Yehuda looks at it and says, you know what, her dat is on the piruta. Because if Adat was on the Malveh, angry will be no good. Continues Amar Shmuel Tabach Uman Shekelkel Hayav Neshalem Maziku Posheyahu Naasak Omed Lo Shehot Li Mikan Veshachat Lo Mikan. So Shmuel says Tabach Uman, that's a Shochet, he's an Uman, he's a professional. Shekelkel, he gave him something to Shochet for you to slaughter an animal. Kelkel, he messed up. So he has to pay. So the Gemara says, he's a mazik, he's a damager, he's a posheya, he's negligent. Gemara calls him two words, a mazik and a posheya. Me'asa, it's like, ke'omed los, like you tell a guy, shechot li mekan, you tell him, slaughter me from here, from the kaneh and the veshet. Veshachat lo mekan, he slaughtered from somewhere else. Guilty, he's negligent. What's his double language? Maziku Posheyahu. Why that double language? He's a damager. He's negligent. If I just would have said mazik, I would have said maybe he's only hayav where you're paying him. Tadacha says that a shomer sachar, when you give a socher, when you pay him, when you pay him money for a job, oh, once you pay a guy money, now he's responsible even for onus. So therefore, if I just would have said mazik, I'd say, okay, only because you paid him money. Aval hecha dekaavid b'chinam, lo. But now that he does it for free, so I would have thought, no. That's why it says posheyahu. Because halakha says that a person that does something behinam without paying, he's patur on onus, but he's hayav on, hayav on peshi'ah. And therefore the Gemara says he's a mazik, he's a posheyahu. It's considered negligent. And therefore, even if you didn't pay him money to do it, you're going to be hayav. Look at Rashi. Tabach umanchkel kel hayav. The kosik an idiot. Or the Muslim Hidyot, a commoner that does the Shekhita. He has no right slaughtering an animal if he has no expertise. The Ka'avid Biskar. The Mazik Hayab Be'onsin. Right? A Mazik is Hayab even Be'onis. The Adam Mu'ad Le'olam Ben Shogeg Ben Mezid. Medekari Le Mazik Le Hayevo Be'onis. Shma' Mina. What's that? Aleph comes and teaches me. Yeah. Be'oto sachar ka'amar. Be'oseh sachar, better. Which means when a guy's getting paid. V'kamash on the posheyahu, te'lo hashiv le'ones. He's not an ones only. Ela, te'shi'ad, ha'vele le'mirme an-nafsheh. He should have been extra careful. Shimet te'farkes ha'behema. Maybe the animal's going to jump and move. V'yizahir bayat. Be careful that you slaughter him in the right place. So therefore the fact that it says maziku, that would tell me it's mazik. Mazik is chayav even be'ones. But that would only be if you're getting paid. But if we're not getting paid, I'm patur be honest. That's why it says posheyahu. Poshe, even if you get, even if it's a hanam, even if I'm not getting paid, I'm doing it for free. Doesn't matter. You still have to be careful from posheyahu. And you're a posheyahu. Why? You hold on to the animal good. You know the animal is jumping around. So comes Gemara and says etive. Rav Hamma bar Guria l'Shmuel. Rav Hamma bar Guria asked the question to Shmuel. Anotein beema l'tabach. He gave an animal to the butcher v'nivela, and he slaughtered it wrong, and it became a nivela. Uman patur hediot hayav. So the uman is patur, right against what Shmuel just said. And the Gemara says further, hediot hayav. Okay, hediot good, because hediot had no right to slaughter in the first place. Ve'im noten sachar. Oh, but if you pay him, ben hediot ben uman hayav. Oh, so you see, when it comes to paying, so then already even the uman is hayav. But you see what? If you didn't pay him, patur. That goes against what Shmuel said. Shmuel said even if you don't pay, he's considered a posheya. Amale, so when Shmuel heard this question against him, he says, Le'achech mochach. Your mind should become muddled, like dirty water. Meaning he cursed him. Why? It seems he didn't like the way he was asking the question. It seems the student asked the question in a condescending way, and therefore he said, what kind of you asking a question like this for? Therefore he says, your brain should become muddled. Another rabbi came along and asked the same question, and he got the same curse. He asked the same question against Shmuel. Now you're going to take what your friend just took, which means I just gave your friend a curse for asking a question like that. Now you took the same thing that your friend took. I'm telling you the Shitav Rabbi Meir. And you're bringing me a Shitav Rabbanan of the rabbis. Why aren't you medayek on what I was saying? Shani Omer Maziku Posheyahu. Didn't I tell you the reason why the uman is hayab? Because it's a mazik, because it's a posheyah. Na'asa, it's like ki omer lo shchoti mikan v'shachat lo mikan, which means we consider him negligent, even though he's a professional, even though he knows what he's doing. Doesn't matter. It's as if I tell a guy, slaughter me from over here, this part of the animal, the good part of the animal, and you slaughter from a different part. And we see that the bimeid is mahmir, that even if you did, he's very mahmir when it comes to damages, that he puts the onus on the damage even more than the opinion of the rabbis. Man eat the haisevara. Who holds this logic that the mazik is very, very, very guilty? Rabbi Meir. He has to be very careful, which means he should have been extra careful, which means Shmuel is saying, ask me a question for. I'm saying you should tell Rabbi Meir. So you bring me a brighta from the Rabbanan? He should have been careful when I said, he's a mazik, he's a poshaya. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is mahmir when it comes to damages. So don't ask me a question from a brighta from the Rabbanan against the shita of Rabbi Meir. Now, which Rabbi Meir? The Gemara is going to struggle here for a little while to try to find, where do you see Rabbi Meir is mahmir by damages? Where do you see it? So Gemara says, hey Rabbi Meir, where's this Rabbi Meir? Ilema, hey Rabbi Meir, ditnan. We learned earlier in the Masechet, the Mishnah, Kashro ba'ala b'mosera, you took the animal. You tied your animal up with a leash, mosera, right? V'na'al b'fanav kera'ui, and you put a lock in front of it. Good, you put a door in front of it, you locked it up. V'yatzav hezik, and it went out and damaged. Ben tam ben mu'ad chayav derin mimir. The mimir says you still chayav. Whether it's a tam, even though you tied it up, even though you put a door, even though you locked it. So you see what the mimir is? Very strict when it comes to the laws of damages. So you see, similarly over here, I don't care, you're an umman. You got the animal, you slaughtered it wrong, you're going to be hayav. That's not the Rabbi we're talking about over here. Hatam bikira'e peligin. Over there, if you remember that mahloket, why the Bimi was so strict, it was based on pisukim. It was a gizrat katuv over there. When it comes to watching an animal, a tam, and a mu'ad, he learned from pisukim over there that even if you tie it up and put a door, you're going to be hayav. So do not bring it ayah from tam and mu'ad story to the case of a uman shuchet. Okay, so what should be me? Are we talking about over here? Ela had to be me idetnan. Let's go alu adom v'savol shahor. The guy gave the uman wool. Do me a favor, dye it red. He dyed it black. Shahor uspaol adom, or black, and he dyed it red. Vice versa. Oh, he says you have to pay. He's guilty. He's got to pay him back for his wool. Even though, why? The assumption of the Gemara is he made a mistake. He wasn't malicious. But still, you see what? Rabbi Meir holds the mazik to a very high standard. Simply the uman, I gave you something to slaughter. You messed up. You're going to be hayav to pay. You can't bring it ayah from the case of the dyer. Why? Hatam biyadayim kila'o mine. Over there we're talking about he did it on purpose. He burnt the wool on purpose. Purpose, of course, is be hayav. Which is he went and he maliciously damaged the wool. That's why he has to pay for the wool. But you have no ayah to the case where the uman made a mistake when he slaughtered. Ela harbi mira, we found it. The Rabbi Meir of the following Mishnah hadithnan, nishpera kado. Remember we had a case of a guy walking in the Rishut Rabim and his jug broke. He was nitkal. Nitkal means he tripped. The jug fell on the floor. So I'm going to tell you the outside first. What happened? What did we say in that case over there? So the chaura, you should be innocent, at least the time that it takes you to pick it up. Once you're negligent after that time, then you should be hayav. Rabbi Meir says, no. You're hayav immediately. Even though you're nitkal, even though you tripped. Doesn't matter, nitkal is considered a posheya, and therefore if somebody tripped on those charges of broken habit, you're going to be hayav. You see, the Bimeir puts a great responsibility on a damager. Case, mishpera kado velo silka, your kad fell and you didn't pick it up. Nafla gimalo, or your camel fell, velo imida, the Bimeir omer hayav, bin iskan. The Bimeir says, you're hayav in damages. Vachemim omerim patur midine adam v'chayav, Bidineh Shamayim. V'kaimalan, and we know what the case was talking about over there. Binitkal posheya upeligi. He was nitkal. He tripped. Oh, so you see what? The Mimir is mechayev even on a nitkal. Even though the guy tripped, he didn't have time to pick it up even. Doesn't matter. The Mimir says you consider a posheya. So that's the Rabbi Meir that says also what? That when you go to Uman, he wasn't malicious. Doesn't matter. He made a mistake in the Shechita. Even if you didn't pay him, he is going to be hayav, maziku, posheyahu, because he should have been extra careful. So that's what Shmuel is saying. I said, I'm bringing you Rabbi Meir. You asked me a question from the rabbis, your head should go muddled. Amar Rababar Bar Hanan, Amar Yohanan, Rabbi Hanan says, Tabach Uman Shkilkel Hayav. Oh, Rabbi Hanan says, the Uman, Tabach, the butcher, or the slaughterer, messes up. Even if he's such an expert Uman, Tabah, like the Tabahim from the city of Tzipuri, that I guess were well known to be good Shohatim. Didn't Rabbi Yohanan say that the Uman is Hayav? There was a story of a guy, a Uman, slaughterer, that slaughtered and made the animal a Nevela in the Bet Knesset of Me'on. Zil prove to me that you're an expert when it comes to slaughtering chickens, v'afterech, and I'll poter you. So you see why he was poter the expert. He just told the shoreite, prove to me that you're an expert and you'll be off the hook. Oh, so you see what? He's poter. So, but he said it's chayav, so make up your mind, Yohanan. La kashya, kam b'chinam, kam b'schar. When was he poter in the case where the guy was doing it for free? When he was doing it for free, so therefore, it's not, he's not considered a posheya. If doing it for free, you only hayav if you are posheya. However, if you're getting paid, then even honest, and even if it was a mistake, you're going to be hayav. So that was the two stories. One, the case where he said you're patur was the one where he wasn't getting paid. The case where he said you're hayav is talking about where he was indeed getting paid. He had the amar, Rabbi Zera Harosesh Yitchayev lo tabach, when you give something to the tabach to slaughter, and you want the tabach to be responsible, yekdim lo dinar. Give him a dinar first. Pay him. By paying him, then already you know he'll be responsible. So again, if a person wants the tabach to be hayab, yekdim lo dinar. Give him a dinar first to make sure he's getting paid.
And if you're going to pay, you have to.
Yagdim lo dinat, pay him. Meti ve, the Gemara has a question. Hamoli chitim litchon. You went you brought chitim, wheat, to the grinder. You want him to grind the wheat. Velo latatan. He was, he didn't do the right job. He didn't soak them first. Because then when you soak them, then it comes out, the brand, the chaff comes off of the chita, and it comes out a nice flour. In the end, what happened? Va'asan subin. Ended up coming out, subin with the kilipa with the shell on it because he didn't soak them properly. So the guy ended up getting subin, which he doesn't want, or musan, or type of bran. So it came out messed up. Kemach lenachtom, you gave flour to the baker. The asaan uvaso pat nipulin. That's bread that falls, meaning bread that crumbles, not a good consistency. Be'emal tabach, or you gave an animal to the tabach, v'nibla, or our case, and it became a nibla, hayav, mipene shehu kenoseh sachar. Ah, because it's like he's getting paid, which is mashma, that he's not getting paid. But we treat it like he's getting paid, that means the uman is going to be hayav, in all cases. Okay, so then that's a braita we're asking a question from. So the Gemara says, Ema mipene shehu noseh sachar. I change the language. Instead of saying it's like he's getting paid, say because he's getting paid. Oh, because he's getting paid, we understand. There's a difference between when he does it for free or when he gets paid. Hahu magrumta. Oh, so we have to know a case over here, which we never discussed before yet, a story of hagrama. When a person is being slaughtering an animal, you have to slaughter the kaneh and the veshet. Right? The kaneh is the windpipe, and the veshet is the esophagus. The trachea and the esophagus. The trachea of the animal has rings. That's what it looks like, has rings and rings and rings and rings and rings. What you're basically supposed to do when you make shechita is you have to slaughter one ring, okay? Fully, or majority. So you go straight. But let's say you have an animal that was slaughtered by hagrama. Hagrama means where he inclined, where he started to slaughter one ring, and he finished, and the knife came out on the ring on top of it. So he slaughtered on an incline. That's not considered a valid shechita. It's a machloket. Now, the case of the machloket really is, even if he slaughtered, let's say, one of the rings, the majority, and then he finished on hagrama, on an incline, and he went above the tabaat, so then we have machloket to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbanan. Rabbi Yosef says, that the animal is, I'll tell you now, you know, look at Rashi, magrumta, let me read it straight in Rashi, shachat mitoch achat taba'ot, you slaughtered one of the taba'ot, one of the rings, v'gris, chutz, and you went up, you inclined up, ben taba'al taba'ot, between another to other taba'ot, v'shiyer maleh achut ad peneh ruba, v'rabi yosib rabi yudam makshid la'ah. So he says, when you want the majority of one, and then you just continue going up, the Bio says it's kasher, but not say still it's going to be asur. That's the machloket. Now we get to a story that happened in Beit Din. Gemara says, "Hahu magrumta da'atil kameh derav." We brought the animal to Rav. It was a hagrama, magrumta. It was slaughtered on an incline. Rav looked at the animal, v'tarfe. He said, "No good, taref." Not only that, upatre le'tabach me'leshlume dame. And he also was poter the butcher from having to pay money. So, the humrah. The guy, first of all, your animal is terefa, and you can't get money back from the butcher. So, Yehuda says, Pag'u be Rav Kana v'Rav Aseh Ba'u Gabra. So two rabbis met this guy, the guy that came to court. Amru le, so they told the guy, Avid Bach Rabbi Tarte. Wow, says, Rav did two things for you. Now, what did they mean when they said two things? My Tarte, Ilemat Tarte le Gri'uta. If they meant to say, wow, he was Mahmir on you, he did two psakim to your disadvantage. Meaning, what did they say? Div'ele le Aksurek Rabbi Yoseh Bar Yehuda. Because really, he should have taken the opinion of Rabbi Yosef ibn Rabbi Yehuda. That is the opinion out there. He could have said the animal was kasher. And instead, what did he do? V'tarfak Rabbanan. And instead, he made it taref like the rabbis. Now, v'inamek Rabbanan. And even if he wanted to posek like Rabbanan, de'ba'el le'hayuvah le'tabaha. He should have at least make the tabah pay. So really, with the court of the Gibran Tavimina, the two rabbis told the litigant that came to the betin, wow, Rav really got you on two halachot. He got you coming and going. He told you that it's no good, even though he could have been, he could have took the shetav Rabbi Yosef, and even though he was supposed to get a banan, he got you on the damages. They told you that the tabah doesn't have to pay. Gibran says, umi share le memar ki hai gavna. What do you mean? Are two rabbis that were sitting in Betin allowed now to go to the litigant and start bad mouthing the other rabbi in the court? Vatanya nechshiyetze, when the litigant comes out of Betin, lo yomar, one of the rabbis that sat on the Betin is not allowed to tell the litigant, ani mizakeh. Oh, by the way, I voted for you. Lachaverai mechayevin, but my friends were against you. He cannot say that. אבל מה יעשה? שחברי רבו עליו, what can I say? The majority was against me. ועזה נאמר, הולך רכיל, מגלה סוד. That this person is going the wrong way who reveals secrets. What happens at Betin is a private matter. You cannot go now start to find favor in the eyes of the litigant. But say, I voted for you, but the majority was against you. So that's what's coming along. They're knocking Rav. No, he could have ruled in your favor. I don't know what he did. That's what somebody, they couldn't have told him that. אלא טלתי למעליותה. And they were saying, you know what? Rav, he judged two halachot in your favor to protect you. Delo uchlach safek isura. Number one, he didn't want you to eat something that's safek. Therefore, he was posek lahmir, that the animal is taref. Even though he could have been posek like Rabbi Yosef, he saved you. Umanach besafek gezela. And he also saved you from safek gezela. Because on the side that it's kasher, so then the tabach doesn't have to pay. If you're going to take money from the butcher now for damages, you're taking money that doesn't belong to you. Wow. So therefore, he helped you. He didn't want you to eat tarifah, safek, and he didn't want you to take money that might not belong to you. Itmar, we have a statement. Okay, you had a coin. You went to the money changer. You asked the money changer, is it legitimate or not? They're able to see counterfeit coins or not. He looked at the coin, he said, you know what? The coin's legitimate, go use it. What happened? Vinim sa'ra. Turned out it was counterfeit. Oh, so now is the Shulchani guilty? Gemara says Tani Hada Uman Patur Hidyot Hayav. One Braita says the Uman is Patur and the Hidyot is Hayav. Well, we can understand the Hidyot. Who asked them to give a ruling? The Hidyot. You have no idea what you're talking about. And we can understand the Uman is Patur because it was a mistake. It wasn't negligent. V'Tanya Idach Ben Uman Ben Hidyot Hayav. But we have another Braita that says it doesn't matter. Even Uman is going to be Hayav. So the Gemara says, "Amar Papa, Kitanya Uman Patur." When do we say that Uman is Patur? Kegon Danku the Isur. These were two money changers, famous money. That's their names, Danku and Isur. They lot sinichal migmar klal. They did not have to learn anything. They knew everything about coins. They didn't have to learn anymore. Go to school, study it. They knew. They were experts. She'en kedug matam. Those guys over there, if they make a mistake, they're patur, because really it's onus. You can't hold them responsible. So Gemara says, wait, if they're perfect and they're experts and they don't make mistakes, ela b'maytau. So how do they make a mistake in this case then? Which is, you tell me in one case they're patur. Danku, Isud, guys like this, they know everything. So how do they make a mistake on the counterfeit over here? So the Gemara says, ta'u b'sikhta hadda. They made a mistake on the new ink. Because at that point the government changed the ink on the coins, and therefore they weren't expert on the new ink, and somebody counterfeited a new coin like that with the new ink, and therefore since they didn't have yet clarity or expertise yet on the new coin that they just minted with the new ink, that's why they made a mistake. Look at Rashi. Start with Rashi. Hamar'eh. Hamar'eh dinar leda'at im tovu. Right? You want to know if the coin is good. V'yikabliru chavero. And his friend, you know, will his friend receive it? Danki v'isur. Sulhanin umanin hayu. They were expert money changers. Ta'u b'sikta chadte. Shinifsala matbaya. Which means the government took out the old coins. V'amidot surah acheret. And they put a new mold, new picture. V'adayin lo ayu b'ki'im ba. Sikta kvaitz belaz. I think that's what they say. Sikta is the actual ink itself.
Some kind of dye.
A dye. Good. Or the press. Which means they weren't yet familiar with the new coin, basically. With the dye, the press. So therefore, that's why you cannot hold them responsible. That's what I'm saying. Sikta is a mold. Okay, not the ink. They made a new, like she says.
New impression.
New impression, new tzura. They weren't familiar with the new tzura. Okay, so it's not ink, it's the mold. Good. That, okay, new story. Yabra says, there was a lady. The Ahsiya Dinra, the Rabbi Chiya. She showed a coin to Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi, is the coin legitimate or is it counterfeit? Amar la, he said to her, Ma'aliyahu, it's okay, it's fine, coin's good. The Mahar, Atay Lekamish, she comes back to the rabbi, Va'amra le, Ahziteh, I showed it in the market, Va'amru le, Bishahu. They told me it's counterfeit. Velo, Kanafikli, and they won't let me use it. Amar le, Le Rav, so Rav Chiya tells Rav, Zil Halfe Nihala, go change the coin for us. It's my fault. Go now, change the coin, I give her a real coin. Vichtov apinkasi, and write on my ledger, Din Esik Bish. This was bad business. Meaning, I shouldn't have made a ruling. I shouldn't have got involved with this in the first place. I told her the coin is okay. She went and used it. And therefore, now she was relying on my psak. Now they said the coin is not legitimate. Oh, so you know what? Go pay, huh? And go make a ledger just to know. Losses for the month. You know, Esek Bish, bad business, and the loss of a coin. Why Esek Bish? That she says, look at the two lines at the bottom. Sechora ra'ahi, shal eske chinam ani mafsid. Shinoi ali rota. I shouldn't have looked at it in the first place. Which means she got the coin as payment from somebody. Okay? And therefore she went to the rabbi. Rabbi, it's a good payment? Yeah, it's a good payment. Don't worry about it. She told her, okay, take care. The rabbi said it's a good coin. Next day she found out it was really counterfeit. The rabbi said, you know what? I shouldn't have looked at it in the first place. The Gemara says, "Umay shina danku v'isud de patre." Why did you say danku and isud? Guys like that high level, why they patur mishum de lo tzlichi de migmar? Because they don't have to learn anymore. Because she said they know everything. The Bechayana me love the migmar kabae. Also, the Bechayah, but he was an expert. He was such an expert that they're putting him on the level of danku and isud. So therefore, why do you say he's chayav? The Chara, we said, if you're such an expert, you don't have to learn anymore, you're patur. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Chayav, lefnim mishurat adilu da'avid. He went above and beyond the letter of the law. Kedetari Rabbi Yosef. V'hoda'ata lahim. The Gemara is going to make a derashana on a pasuk. It says, V'hoda'ata lahim. You should teach them the road. Which road is this? Ze bet hayehim. That's referring to their life. What is a person's life? Zu, as she says, Talmud Torah. The pasuk says that's referring to Kim Hayenu Ve'orichemenu. The Torah is saying, I'll give you the whole pasuk just so you get the flavor of the pasuk. It says, Ve'ezarta etem etahokim etatorah ve'odata lahim. You should warn them all the laws and all the statutes, and you should ve'odata lahim. You should guide them. Guide them what? That they have to study Torah. That is their life. They're bet hayehim. The kind of Gemara refers to Torah. Bet hayehim, their life. Etaderech. What's the derech? That's the next part of the pasuk. Zu gimilut hasadim. That's referring to the fact that people have to be involved in Gimut Hazim. Yelchu, have to go. Where do you go? Zubikur Hodim. Ba, to it, Zu Kibura. That's the mitzvah of burial. Etamase, Ze Hadin. Asheri Asun. Zu Lefni Mishurat Hadin. So you see over here that the Torah even tells you that there's a certain standard of deen, and there's a certain standard of lifnim mishurat deen, and Torah's telling you they don't only follow the law, but you also have to follow beyond the law. Look at the top of the Shibat. Vikor olim ukbura. Parchina be'edu mitziyot, hanu gimut hasadim. What do you mean? We just said, etaderech zu gimut hasadim. Then the Pasuk gives me, Vikor olim and kibura, isn't that gimut hasadim? It's included in Chesed. So the Gemara says, "Umukila bikur cholim beben gilo venoter echad mishim bechodyo." We're talking about a special bikur cholim. That what? That you're in the same mazal as that sick person. And the Gemara said in Berachot, when you go visit somebody that you're in the same mazal, you're able to take away 1/60th of the sickness. So that's a higher level. And for ukbura bezaken ve'enu lefi kibodo. Talking about, let's say, to bury, and the person that's doing the burying is a zakin, is a tamid hakam, and it's beneath his dignity to go bury. The Torah is saying, still, go bury. So the Gemara, azalim is regular. Bikur Holi means Ben Gilo, and Kivura is referring to even a Zaken, and it's not for his Kavod. Still, it is enough for him to go do the Mitzvah. Amen.